Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I'm joined by my sister Kay for a spoiler-filled discussion on the third and probably final season of Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
This actually got a third season that was not certain when we recorded the episode on the second season. There had been all sorts of behind-the-scenes problems and issues. Clayne Crawford's character of Martin Riggs was killed off in the finale of the second season. And this season, Sean William Scott was brought in as Wes Cole, new partner for Roger Murtaugh, and it really changed up the dynamic on the show considerably.
He was a very different character. They didn't have the banter.
He was a different character, but he was also a very similar character, in so much as he was almost the kind of opposite in some respects to Riggs. Riggs was a very sociable guy who just didn't care.
Yes.
Cole cares is just socially awkward.
Yes. But they were both well-trained military people, knew their weapons, knew their combat, knew how to defend themselves and others.
But Riggs usually used a gun.
Yes.
And Cole usually didn't. He could.
Yes.
But yeah, he was more of a fist fighter, kind of.
Well, Cole realized he'd seen enough people die.
Yes. He was against death, whereas Riggs was very much looking for death.
Yes.
So again, they just kind of reversed aspects of the character. The problem was that it put Murtaugh in a position very similar to how Riggs was at the beginning, had just lost somebody, had lost his way. And it took a little while for Roger to kind of get out of that mode.
Well, they wrote out the shrink.
Yes.
And honestly, I think it would have been funny to have a few episodes where Murtaugh was now the one going to the shrink instead of Riggs.
If they'd kept the shrink, I think Murtaugh would have been going, and basically Cole would have been in the role Roger had been in, of checking in on Martin kind of a thing, and almost a role reversal thing there.
Yeah. It felt like they kind of wrapped up the Who Killed Riggs really fast.
Yes. Episode or two kind of it and moved on.
It wasn't a story. It wasn't a plot point, per se. We never followed up with kind of the people Riggs left behind. Riggs was history.
Yes. Well, and in place of that supporting cast of his old girlfriend and kid, Cole brings in an ex-wife and kid.
Yeah.
Different dynamic, but very similar dynamic in many respects. And I get where they could almost transition storylines over, yet have certain things play out differently. And it's not like these were carbon copy characters, but it so changed up the dynamic. And the Roger Murtaugh character was almost trying to be the funny one at mm-hmm. times. That character was more the straight man for the Martin Riggs character. And Cole wasn't the one who needed the straight man. He was the straight man now to it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad dynamic, but it was so different.
So different, and it didn't have those roll-on-the-floor, laugh-out-loud moments. Didn't have those moments that you found yourself telling someone about the next day. There was this hilarious scene where they're determined not to cause property damage because they know they've been getting in trouble for it, and they're chasing the guy on the motorcycle. They think he's gotten away. Then he has an accident. He hits the truck.
Yeah.
Everything goes up in flames. And it's so hilarious because they're standing a block back looking at each other going, I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Knowing they're going to get blamed nonetheless.
Yeah.
I think part of it was the two actors, even though apparently they didn't get along on the set in the first two seasons, played really well off each other.
Yeah.
And the characters were written to do that.
Yes.
Whereas the introduction of Cole was almost written to not do that.
Yeah. Well, these characters were written to not trust each other. One was I've never worked with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to work with a partner. And then we have Murtaugh, who's being told this guy comes from a CIA background.
I think part of it was, again, Cole's social awkwardness made a lot of those sorts of things hard. Plus, the Roger Murtaugh character is such a piece of work.
Yeah.
To the point of being a little egotistical, arrogant, and full of himself and out of touch with reality as to what's really going on.
Yeah.
Self-delusional, I guess, would be the best way to put it. And not in a horrible way, but he can't really believe that, can he? And that's one of the running gags of the show.
Well, at first, Murtaugh didn't want to accept Cole back in as basically a part of the family. He'd been burned. He'd lost someone he loved. So when Trish is saying, we need to invite your new partner over for dinner, he's not willing to set a place at the table for someone new. But when Trish says, well, if we go to his place and show up with food and drinks, well, she realizes, you know, the new partner lives in a dump of a hotel.
But that was so similar and almost redundant in some ways, while not exactly the same, to the relationship that it built up with the Riggs character. It forced them into reverting a bit and moving back forward.
Yeah.
Okay, it was a hotel versus a mobile home kind of thing. But the dynamic was there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad. I enjoyed the season.
I enjoyed it. I just didn't find it so hilarious. It wasn't one of those shows I had to stay on top of because I couldn't wait to see what they got up to next.
Yes, it was good. It didn't have the banter highlights or even the action highlights that the show certainly started out with first season. I mean, I watched it thinking, oh, it's Damon Wayans. Just watched, what was it, the one that was based on the Jackie Chan. I'm totally blanking on which series of movies it was based on with him and Chris Tucker. They'd done a version of that lasted 13 episodes. It was not particularly well done. So when it's, oh, let's take another series of movies and do it, it's, I'll watch, see if it's any good. And it was brilliant.
The first few commercials I saw, they had the banter, the action. It was hilarious and eye-grabbing every time the commercials ran.
Mm-hmm. Part of that, I think, is Clayne Crawford is a charismatic actor and played well off of Damon Wayans. Damon Wayans was doing the straight man stuff well, had a good sense of comedic timing and all of that, of course.
Yes.
When he became kind of the lead character in this, it didn't work as well because he was better as the almost the comedy relief straight man of what hijinks will Roger get up to this week, kind of wackiness will ensue with him. Well, we've got all the tragedy and pathos or whatever with Martin.
Yeah, the show was powerful because it had the duo balancing each other. And I didn't feel that this season they had a balanced duo. I didn't feel one was giving comic relief to the other. And I didn't feel that the tension and drama played out well.
Well, and I think it was a little forced. It took them a little while to kind of figure out where to go with the characters. They were getting there by the end. I'm not going to say they were there by the end of the season. And when they were talking about how to banter or whatever on the show, it's like, it doesn't quite work. Either you do it or you don't, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And it was struggling to rebuild itself. And I certainly don't think Sean William Scott did a bad job.
No.
I don't think the writers did a horrible job. It was just something that was so, how do you bring somebody in to fill that void of the narrative? And it changed the dynamic fundamentally on the show.
Yeah.
We know a couple of people that just watched an episode or two, say, yeah, it wasn't for them and stopped. Our cousin Thomas was one of them. And I get it because it's hard to, on an ensemble, it's hard enough to take a character out and replace him. MASH is a great example where they did that a few times and found a way to get a character to fill the same narrative void, but in different ways, which was clearly what they were trying to do here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the decision to make Cole socially awkward crippled a lot of what they needed to make it work. He should have been somebody who was very socially savvy, very inexperienced. He was a rookie, fresh out of the academy, maybe. Mm,
yeah.
You know, hadn't seen life and had a lot of promise, but maybe was a bit reckless or just undisciplined or something. You know, that you could have had be not a younger version of Riggs, but the happy-go-lucky version.
Mm.
Instead of the tragic looking for death, it would have been somebody who's so enjoying life. Maybe he doesn't, you know, dot the I's, cross all the T's, and some stuff happens. You know, somebody that Roger could have been almost more of that father figure sort of a thing, too.
Yeah.
And that could have worked, and it could have kept the show lighter and tone that would have helped.
When it took the final episode airing for me to figure out what they thought their arc was. Because to me, it was very haphazard, not obvious. Cole's CIA past is the arc of the season.
Well, to me, Cole being the arc of the season kind of made sense. And I think part of it was, I don't think they knew how long they had for the season, because they'd gotten a little ways in and Damon Wayans was apparently getting tired of the show. I mean, what I had heard is he'd basically told him, or had said that he's a 58-year-old diabetic and this is hard on him.
I mean,
at which point they started providing diabetic meals. And I'm like, well, if that's the case, they should have been doing that up front. He should have mentioned they should have been doing that up front. And either he wanted to spend less time doing it. I mean, working on a TV show, particularly this kind of TV show, is a bit of a grind.
Yeah, the actors have 12-hour days.
And not easy 12-hour days. And I don't fault him for any of that. But when they got to the 13-episode point, and it was looking like that was going to be it, and they got another two kind of in his extension to, I guess, wrap things up, it makes it hard to have kind of that beginning, middle, and end of an arc.
When the arc for Cole, yeah, for me, it was just too all over the place. I mean, we explored his childhood, which he seems to, on some level, appreciate, yet we see a series of bad memories over the course of the season. And yet when his ex-wife, Natalie, says, I'm going to take our daughter overseas for a year and give her an experience like you had as a kid, he's like, yeah, go for it. That'll be great for her.
Well, it's funny because every time we'd get those flashbacks to Cole's childhood, it was hard not to compare it to when we were getting that on Martin Riggs.
Yeah.
So the comparisons, not just because it's the same show, but because of the parallels to the character, are hard not to draw.
Yeah.
And they had decent arcs. I thought the actress who played his daughter, Cole, she did a great job.
She really did, yeah.
Maggie Lawson from Psych, among other things, playing the ex-wife, did a terrific job.
I think her character had the best arc.
I think so. I think she was primarily cast as the exasperated ex.
Yeah.
Which is not too different than the character she played on Psych.
Yeah.
The you've got to be kidding me, you know, kind of attitude or whatever.
But she does it well.
She does. And she brought a good energy to this. And the dynamic between her and Cole worked well. The whole love triangle thing and stuff was fun.
Well, for me, her character was very much a focus on the future. You have to move forward. Don't repeat past mistakes. And viewing Cole through the prism purely of the past.
Yes.
And where he goes, chaos follows. And over the course of the season, she starts viewing him not as he was, but as he is.
Well, and it's interesting because that whole bit of their relationship being guided by what will the future hold is diametrically opposed to Riggs, his dead wife, and what the past held.
Yeah.
So it was very much, how can we take it and flip it, you know, 180 degrees, which, again, makes sense. And there was some of the stuff that was a lot of fun to see play out.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at that whole arc for that relationship between Cole and her and add in the other love interest that was put in for Cole and then quickly cast aside.
Yeah.
So I think there was some of it of it took them a while to figure out even how to salvage the show that. They didn't have the best game plan to salvage the show. And I think there were enough other things thrown at them. You know, the minute Damon was saying, hey, maybe I don't want to do the show or whatever, it's like, geez, they barely got the third season.
Yeah.
Which is rough because this is, again, one of those shows that when it's on, it's a game. And I don't think it was that way this season. It had some close aspects to that. But when it's on, it's a game. Phenomenally funny, incredible action sequences, good solid plots,
yes,
great characters, and just fun to watch. This was all really good this season, but I felt they never hit some of the highlights that I felt they'd hit certainly first season and a bit during second.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this is one where the pilot episode probably set the bar really high for the show.
Agreed.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, but, and there have been other, well, classic example is Hogan's Heroes. They filmed their pilot, they went and they shopped it around, and network after network says, we can't air you, we can't air you. And finally they're saying, why? And they say, because your pilot is so funny, you can't do any more episodes that will measure up to what you made.
Mm-hmm. This is brilliant. You can't do this on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, tough problem to have. On the one hand, I'm expecting this to be the end of the series. It ended literally with them flying off into the sunset. But, and it's funny, because that was also very similar to the first season where it ended on a, they're going after somebody.
And driving off into the sunset.
Driving off that time, this time flying or whatever. And it's like, are we going to see that big climactic, you know, showdown or whatever?
Last time they drove, I think, to Mexico. This time they flew to Ecuador. You know, not as easy a drive.
Yes. But it was, again, first it was Martin going after the guy who killed his wife. Now it's, you know, Cole and also Roger going after the person who almost tried to, you know, do that kind of thing. So, again, clear parallels there. But it ended on a note of, this is, if they have a fourth season, they need to address the whole Ecuador situation.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to have a fourth season. If they do, I don't know where they should go with it.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating because it's rare for a show to come out of the gate as strong as this one did and hold fairly decently and have such, you know, for two seasons and have the behind the scenes stuff, particularly over that second season, just unravel it. And then to come in for a third and rebuild reasonably successfully.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, not to the heights it had been, but I think it would have been, they would have been very hard pressed to successfully do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any realistic expectation that they could have done a better third season than they did.
Mm. Well, the other thing to take into account on that is, as I recall, it was only like, what, 2 weeks before they started filming that they settled whether or not they were bringing Clayne Crawford back.
Yeah, it was late in the game.
Yeah, which contributes to the challenges.
So, I mean, my hat's off to the writing staff that established a character as quickly and effectively as they did.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you, I mean, so much of the season was either Cole's arc or the relationship with the ex, the kid, all that kind of a stuff. To put that together as quickly as they did, and it was well done.
Yeah.
You know? Because
and Trish had a decent arc.
She did. I think hers was struggling because of timing issues on how long the show may not run.
Yeah.
I think the whole bit of her becoming district attorney was going to play out over the second half of a season.
Me too.
And it just kind of was left hanging.
But the way they built to that actually worked for me. In terms of she got on her high horse, I guess at the end of last season, mm-hmm. and basically walked out of the big law firm.
Well, but also with Avery having run for office.
Yeah.
Set up the transition of, well, I can't do it, but you could.
Yeah.
So I thought that was smooth. But if you think about it, she goes in that final episode from being literally on the air campaigning to suddenly 2 weeks later, she's taking a trip out of the blue.
Yeah.
Not, I've got to stay here and run for office?
Does make you wonder.
So there's that aspect. Of course, I was also wondering who was taking care of Cole's kid.
I was wondering that too. And Harper, for that matter.
Harper, I could say, because you've got the other two kids.
All right, maybe.
Roger Jr. and
Rihanna?
Rihanna, who were invisible most of the season. Yeah. Not most. I mean, they
enough.
Enough of the season, certainly the last few episodes. They're either there and front and center or not even mentioned.
Yeah. And for a while, they were alternating episodes.
Seemed to be. It's one of those things that I think you could cherry pick episodes of various shows such that you had certain episodes you gave to one group of people and another set you gave to another group of people. They'd come out of it knowing who the main characters are, but completely diametrically opposed as to who they thought the sub-characters or subplot characters were.
Yeah.
You know, did they catch any of the episodes that had Leo in them or not? Did they catch the one with the kids? Or Roger doesn't have any kids.
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of things. Or the ex-wife and daughter or not. And I get they can't have everything every episode, and I'm not suggesting they do, but when you have certain episodes where the characters, again, Roger can't go home without having to deal with the kids, and next episode, he may as well not have any.
Yes.
It's just a little bizarre. So it was fun. It was a shorter season than I was expecting, and even knowing some of the behind-the-scenes shake-up stuff, it took a while to realize that basically the season had ended and we missed that final episode.
Yeah.
So we were able to catch that and watch that. And it was a better ending episode than like most of the episodes they had this season, because frankly, some of them were a little forgettable. They were good.
Yeah.
But certain things end on a like fly off into the sunset sort of a thing. Others with a we'll be back next week kind of implication, if not anything specific.
Yeah.
Again, not expecting this to come back for a fourth season. If they do, I think they really need to have a solid game plan.
I agree.
And I think they're capable of that. I think they've, again, got the writing staff. Certainly they've got the talent on the cast. But everything seemed to be in a wind down, happy ending kind of mode.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't think they necessarily should try for a fourth season.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
I'd like to see some of these cast members go on to other shows.
Definitely.
So I again, think they've got a lot of talent and stuff there. Again, Maggie Lawson, I thought, was a great addition this season.
Mm-hmm.
None of the characters that kind of got written out with the Riggs character were ones that I felt, man, I wish they'd bring them back.
Mm.
I think there was a missed opportunity to not tie them off and clean it off a little bit better.
Yeah.
But not one that I felt, geez, that was a real shame. It was shorter season than usual. But it is getting to where, what, out of three seasons, one of them we realized, hey, the season's ending, and the other one's kind of caught us off guard?
Yeah, well, you know.
To me, that goes towards kind of ongoing pacing problems.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's something to be said for, usually there's a rhythm in the writing that gives you that, dun, 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 the season's over feel.
Yeah, even if it's just a otherwise bookend sense of closure that the characters are going through for some reason. Yeah. End of a school's year or something. But it's a shame the show is, as far as I know, effectively over. Three seasons, short run, and I think they could have done a lot more, but it's also a show that would have been harder and harder to keep going the longer it went.
Mm, yeah.
Having to continually top the action sequences, the humor, the comedy, and just as the actors get older, it doesn't get to be an easier show to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Fun season, enjoyed it.
I agree.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.